We are back with another Bible Q&A. I'm Pastor Paul, here with my wife, Sue, and we're going to be looking at questions that you've sent in and do our best to answer them here today.
All right, the first question is from Cross. He says, during Pastor Paul's teaching on Hebrews 8, he mentions Jeremiah 31 and how it's referring to the new covenant the Jews will be put under after the tribulation. He then goes on to apply these verses to the covenant Jesus has afforded everyone. I was just under the impression that these two covenants, although both being new, are different, and that Jeremiah 31 is specifically talking about the Jewish new covenant.
No, that's not correct. There are not two new covenants after the Mosaic covenant. There's one. Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah is a prophecy. Jeremiah 31, 31 and following is a prophecy of the new covenant that would be made initially to the Jews and then be extended to the Gentiles, mm-hmm. as we see in the book of Acts as it's played out.
Right.
And so I think where people get tripped up is when you go to Jeremiah 31, it says, this is the covenant I will make with Israel and the house of Judah. And they just assume, oh, this is for the Jews. Mm-hmm. And then there's something else that's coming for the rest of the Gentiles. And so, no, if you look at, in fact, the writer of Hebrews quotes Jeremiah 31 to speak, and of course, that's what he's saying he was listening to, speaks of that prophecy in Jeremiah, mm-hmm. as related to the gospel of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that goes to Jews and Gentiles. So it's not two covenants after the Mosaic Law, just one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question from a YouTube comment. I want to know if a person can receive salvation when they repeat the sinner's prayer after the pastor.
Absolutely. And you know why? It's not about the prayer. Mm-hmm. It's about the heart.
Right.
And it's about faith. You know, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. It doesn't say we're saved by grace through saying the right prayer, mm-hmm. or how we say the prayer, or how we get baptized in water. It says we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is what saves us by the grace of God. So, yes, I mean, this is what's been happening at Billy Graham Crusades, you know, throughout the decades that he was involved in ministry. And, you know, here's the really cool part. In the 35 years of ministry that I had with Calvary Chapel, Ontario, I saw many people get saved without ever praying a prayer. Like the sinner's prayer, right. or something like that. They just heard the word over a protracted period, mm-hmm. of time and eventually just kind of ended up knowing that they knew they were saved.
Or I've heard people say, you know, I felt like the Lord was drawing me and I got over some of my self,
my issues.
And I just laid in bed and I just prayed to him and said, I know you're real. You know, it wasn't a repeat after me sort of a thing.
Or a sinner's prayer that followed a particular pattern. Mm-hmm. It was just an expression of faith.
Yeah.
And God saves people who put their faith, mm-hmm. in him. And so, you know, when you stop and think about all the ways that people can be saved, it is truly amazing. You know, I love that story in the book of Acts where Philip is running alongside this chariot of this Ethiopian eunuch, and he hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he just says, you know, do you know what you're reading? He says, well, no, how can I know unless somebody tells me?
Yeah.
So he invites Philip to get into the chariot with him, and Philip explains that prophecy in Isaiah was referring to the suffering Messiah, and he shares the gospel. And so the guy gets saved right then and there. He puts his faith in Jesus.
Sure.
He doesn't ever talk about a sinner's prayer or anything. Mm-hmm. He believes. And so Philip says, hey, let's, you know, we're going to baptize him on the road.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question from Agnes.
Okay.
Kindly clarify whether Christian YouTubers who ask followers to pay for their content are going against the Lord's command that says, she quotes Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give.
Well, that's a really tough question. Because first of all, I don't know what they're asking for.
Yeah.
Those people might be asking for remuneration for things they've paid out of pocket, and they're just asking, you know, for to be made whole. I don't know. Some of them might be trying to actually make money. You know, the Bible tells us there are some people who believe that godliness is a means to financial wealth.
Yeah.
And those people are criticized in the Bible. But, you know, it all depends on what's in a person's heart.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have decided we're never going to ask for money. And we never have and we never will. But I can't be the judge of someone who does without knowing their heart.
Well, right, exactly, knowing their heart. And the same thing happens with, I know someone who I admire, who has a, I guess you would call it a blog or whatever, but it's additional content by subscription.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, subscriptions have been around for, you know, a long time. We do the same thing with magazines.
Yeah.
You want this magazine, you pay a subscription. And right. So it, yes, we don't know exactly what's being talked about here, but it's just like between that person and the Lord.
Yeah. You know, on our website, we have things that are for sale.
Yes.
Your study guides.
Yes.
We have a couple of flash drives that we make available, mm-hmm. one with all of my audio teachings through the entire Bible, and one with the video teachings of the marriage series
right.
that we recorded a few years back. We're trying to simply recoup the cost
printing costs
of materials
and shipping.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep. Shipping, printing, things like that. We're not trying to make money.
Yeah.
And if anybody's ever seen the price that we put on those things,
they know that.
They know that we're not trying to make money. It's we're just trying to not lose money, you know, sort of a thing. So you got to know what's in a person's heart. I have to remember that the Bible says to me, who are you to judge another man's servant?
Sure.
To his own master, he rises or falls. And so unless I know what's in a man's heart, I can't make a judgment about right. that exactly. So
always wise. Okay. Haley says, hello, Pastor Paul.
Hello, Haley.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot online about different Roman Catholic beliefs, specifically praying to saints and that Mary was sinless.
Yeah.
Please let me know what you think. And thank you so much. Your teachings have helped me grow so much in my understanding of the word.
Well, there are huge differences between Roman Catholic teaching and biblical Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, of course, you know, that Roman Catholics put an emphasis on tradition that is equal to that of Scripture. They also have a pope. They have a person that they have elevated in their organization who is free to make doctrine, declare doctrine, and make dogmas, which are beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church. And if you look at a schedule of chronological dogmas that have been made by the popes throughout the centuries, you will see that things like praying to Mary hasn't always existed. The belief that Mary remained sinless hasn't always been a Roman Catholic belief. It came about at some point when a particular pope said, this is the deal, right? They haven't always believed in purgatory. So these things have been added, by the popes over the years. And, you know, that's what sets Roman Catholicism apart from biblical Christianity. I have always tried my best as a Bible teacher to separate human rules, human additions to the Word of God from the basic premise of God's Word. And even though I'm fine with traditions, I don't mind tradition, I'm very careful not to elevate those traditions
yeah.
above the Word of God. For example, you and I have a tradition of celebrating the birth of Christ on December 25th. Was Jesus born on December 25th? Probably not.
Right.
Probably not even close. We do it as a tradition. Do we elevate it above the Word of God? No, we don't. Mm-hmm. It's just a day.
We use it to promote the Word of God.
Absolutely.
We use it as an evangelistic tool to promote.
We use it to promote Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. And we find that people are open about talking about Jesus
yep.
around Christmas. But you know, we don't elevate it. If somebody were to say, is that a biblical holiday, December 25th, I'd say, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're never going to elevate it as such.
Right.
It's just a day. And it could be June 22nd. It could be April 5th. It doesn't matter, because traditions can't be held in the same at the same level of biblical doctrines. But you see, that's where Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity diverge.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are huge differences, and I would encourage Haley and anyone else who's interested or concerned about Roman Catholic beliefs or has friends or relatives who are in Roman Catholicism to know what Catholics believe. Mm-hmm. Not so that they can be argumentative or tear people down, but just to know how to talk, mm-hmm. how to converse, and to know what is in the Bible and what is not. And I will just tell Haley, praying to the saints, the sinlessness of Mary, and she only mentions two, the Bible knows nothing of those things. Mm-hmm. There's not one single word about either of those, and frankly, most all other, specifically Roman Catholic doctrines. They're not in the Bible. Yeah. So that's all I think biblical Christians need to know.
Sure. All right, Dakota has a question, and he says, "Hello, Pastor Paul. I had a friend quote Romans 14:13, which says, never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother.
Yeah.
My friend said that the cross can be a stumbling block when witnessing because it has been used throughout history as a symbol in military campaigns, such as the Crusades.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe that Jesus died on a cross, but states that even if Jesus did die on a cross, it should not be displayed in the manner churches and some Christians do. He quotes Exodus 24 as additional support for this.
Exodus 20, verse 4, by the way, is the command not to make a graven image.
Gotcha.
Which, of course, was a prohibition to the Jews not to bow down to a pagan idol.
Mm-hmm.
Which has nothing to do with the cross,
yeah.
because we do not worship the cross. The cross is merely a symbol of what Jesus did for us when he sacrificed himself for our sin. The issue here with this conversation is stumbling block, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is a stumbling
yes.
block,
mm-hmm.
but he's a stumbling block to sinners, right? And frankly, people need to stumble over him, you know? But when Paul says in Romans 13 not to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother, he's referring to something that would cause a person to stumble into sin.
Into sin, a temptation.
Jesus
to sin.
Is the stumbling stone that causes us to stumble out of sin and out of the penalty of sin. It's a completely different kind of stumbling. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing you need to understand. It's not the same thing. To quote Romans 14:13 as applying to the cross is a misinterpretation of Scripture. And so that's what I would say to Dakota. Your friend is misinterpreting the word. I mean, anyone who denies that Jesus died on a cross isn't taking the Bible seriously
yeah.
because it is clear that Jesus died on the cross. And the Bible goes on to speak of the cross. Jesus even spoke before he suffered on the cross about believers needing to take up their cross.
That's
you know,
true.
So mm-hmm. those sort of references even predate his death on the cross. So anyway, you know, when somebody says to me, or if somebody says to me, oh, well, I don't believe Jesus died on the cross, I know what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with someone who doesn't take the word seriously. Mm-hmm. They just believe what they believe. And, you know, this could be a Mormon sort of a belief. Mm-hmm. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't use the word cross. They say he died on a stake. The Mormons don't like the cross at all. They don't like even the symbol of the cross. So Dakota could be talking to somebody who's in the LDS church.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if not either of those two things, it's just somebody who's just not
found an avenue of excuse.
Decide they're going to believe what they're going to believe, regardless of what the word says.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this comes from Chris.
Okay.
Hey, Pastor Paul and Miss Sue. What kind of mindset should one have when reading through the Bible? I know it's very historical, and also there's so much information from the Old Testament that carries over to the New Testament. What are your thoughts when you sit down and open your Bible?
Well, I think without a doubt, the absolute best mindset when studying the Word of God is to constantly ask yourself, how can I apply this to my life?
Sure.
That, you know, application mm-hmm. is a key to studying the Word of God. And Jesus told us, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, he said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them
right.
is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wind, the rain, the storms beat against the house, but it remained, it stood. And that stands for the person's life because it is grounded, founded on the rock of Jesus Christ. But that comes from application. It comes from taking the word and not applying it to my friend or to my wife, you know, my spouse. Hey, you need to read this,
yeah.
you know, sort of, you know, because you're not toeing the line. No. It's reading the word of God and saying, Lord, how can I apply this word? That is the absolute best mindset to have.
Yeah. And he mentions here the historical aspect and that sort of thing. And in many of my Bible studies or my women's Bible studies, there's just a three-prong approach. What does it say?
Yep.
Because there's history to be learned.
Yep.
What does it mean?
Yep.
And what does it mean to me?
You know, there, and then you come to that last application right. process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the takeaway there.
Absolutely.
So. All right. Liz says, my daughter asked me what the Bible says about dying with dignity. Is providing euthanasia against the Bible's teachings? I've listened to your studies for over a year, and I praise God that I was drawn to your teachings. I told my sister, who was very adverse to the Bible, and she decided to listen, and she was amazed. God bless your ministry. So the question is euthanasia against the Bible's teachings?
And I think we have another question that's very similar to that next.
Do you want me to read that
one too? Take that together.
Okay. This is from Gay. She says, many people support euthanasia these days on grounds of ending terminal suffering.
Yeah.
But is that biblical? Can we as Christians support euthanasia?
Okay. So we need to talk about euthanasia, right. which of course is, you know, also been referred to as mercy killing.
Right.
The Bible does not specifically address euthanasia from the standpoint of, you know, whether we should or shouldn't do it. So it remains a very challenging issue. Really, the closest, you know, biblical picture we have to anything related to euthanasia is that of King Saul when he had been wounded in a battle with the Philistines and wounded to the point where he knew he wouldn't survive. And we're told that he asked his armor bearer to come and run him through
yeah.
with his sword. His armor bearer refused. And later, when his armor bearer saw that Saul had died, he fell on his own sword, killed himself. So then, of course, that story goes on as you get into 2 Samuel, and it talks about how this Amalekite came to David with a story that he had happened upon Saul, King Saul, who was in the throes of death, asked the Amalekite to kill him, and the Amalekite went ahead and did it. Now, whether he did or not,
yeah.
we don't know. He could have just been lying, thinking he was going to get a reward
right. mm-hmm.
because he may have known that David had been running from mm-hmm. Saul. And so we're not really sure how that goes. But really, those stories that go along with that are the only thing we have. And that's just a narrative. So you can't really draw a doctrine out of a
right.
narrative. My philosophy on such matters is that when there's a question mark on a particular topic, which there obviously is, or these two people wouldn't have written in.
Yeah. I think from different countries.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So if there's a question mark about something, my philosophy is to steer clear of it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to come up with a hard and fast conclusion, regardless of how I may feel. You know, the Bible does say, and I don't remember what book it's in. We've talked about it before, but it talks about, I think it might be the Proverbs, but it says, give strong drink to the
Proverbs
one who is suffering. Is that Proverbs?
Proverbs 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you. So it says, give strong drink to the one who is suffering.
Yeah.
And of course that is, that was an act of mercy.
Sure.
Because that was kind of the natural, or that was
that
the modern day.
Of
yeah. It was kind of like painkiller.
Yeah. Don't you think these questions are more complicated because our world is more complicated? And, you know, we, in a previous Q&A, we've talked about things like artificial birth control. We've talked about IVF. We have medical things and
yeah.
medical procedures
yep.
now. We prolong life in ways
yep.
that didn't happen 2,000 years ago
yep.
or even 200 200 years ago.
We can just simply put someone to sleep and then stop their heart.
Yeah.
And you know, they die very peacefully. And when people are seen dying in pain, it seems immoral to some to even consider that option, you know, to let someone suffer that way. It's very difficult. Here's one of the differences about modern sensibilities from the way things were in the Bible. In biblical times, people expected to suffer.
Mm.
Suffering was part of everyday life. They didn't eat as often as we do. They didn't bathe as often as we do. They didn't have the kind of medical help that we do today. You couldn't call 911 and rush someone to the emergency room. People expected that life was full of suffering. It doesn't mean that they grieved less when someone passed away, or that they embraced pain necessarily, but they understood it and they expected it.
Yeah.
We have gotten to a point in our culture where we don't think we should have to deal with suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, it's not on my radar, you know? And so if I'm suffering, if I'm in pain, I'm like, I take a pain reliever. If I get a headache, I just go in the other room and I grab some Tylenol or Advil or whatever, and I get rid of it. And if that doesn't do it, I go to my doctor and I say, hey, this pain's bugging me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get rid of it. And that's our expectation today. So when it comes to things related to the end of life, we kind of think that's just a moral thing to do. It's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. is to bring them to a place where they're not feeling any pain. And we do try. That's what hospice in the very end times is of a person's life is really all about, giving them medication so that they're pain free.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes a while to get to that place, but it's really a modern thought process, you know, that we've kind of embraced. So these things are challenging. There's just no two questions about it. No, there's nothing specifically in the Bible about it. So my advice, my counsel to people is, hey, you got to pray about it. Mm-hmm. You got to pray. You got to ask the Lord. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we want to know. It tells us everything we need to know, mm-hmm. but not everything we want to know. And so we are forced many times to get on our knees and pray things through and pray until we get an answer,
mm-hmm.
and just trust the Lord going to guide us.
Yeah, sure.
So,
all right, we've come to the end. That's it for this episode.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, these were great questions. Thank you so much for sending them in. If you have a question you'd like us to cover for you, send it to questions@lifebibleministry.com and be sure to visit our website for all of my teachings through the entire Bible and all of Sue's Women of the Word Bible studies with study guides that are both downloadable for free or can be purchased by booklet. So until we meet again, have a blessed week. We hope to see you soon. Bye-bye.